morning for coming to God's Word. I just want to share briefly how the Lord has been daily with my heart over these last months concerning the Word of God in Australia, and especially the congregation in Perth in Western Australia. There are some prayer cards at the table at the door, and I encourage you to take those with you. Remember myself and wife Cherith and our children Anna and Karis, and that the Lord will be with us as we come to take up the Word of God, God willing, early next year, and the Word of God in Perth. I was mentioned this morning back in the month of January, and that the Minister of Week Prayer in Northern Ireland. And at that particular time, I do inclination of moving it all to another congregation. The Lord has been working in the congregation where I labour in Parish Fergus. There's certainly a great work to be done in that very needy area. And by that being week of prayer, the Reverend Harold mentioned a great need in the city of Perth, the man off to go in light of the coming retirement of the Reverend Patrick. And basically the Lord began to speak to me concerning that particular matter. He's been in the congregation there about 7 years ago, just for a few weeks. So he was keenly aware of the great need that exists within that great city. But that very day that the Reverend Harris mentioned that need, in the evening time was reading in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19, where the Lord is speaking to the early disciples, said to him, "Follow me." And verse 20 of that particular chapter, and having heard that call of God, "Follow me," immediately they left their nets and followed the Lord, and there had to be then a percentage of that place where they had been occupied, going in a new area of service, and I believe the Lord really was dealing with my heart, but I began to bring a number of excuses before the Lord how it couldn't be me that would go to Australia. But the Lord, one thing after another, began to confirm that I ought to go. And one of the excuses that I brought before the Lord was that I really was engaged in the Lord's service at one place, so someone else should go that wasn't engaged in the Lord's service. Next morning, after Minister's Week of Prayer, one of our ministers back home, Dr. Stephen Pollock, was preaching on the taking of Elijah up into glory, and how at the conclusion of his ministry, there was another man to take the place, Elisha. And during the course of that message, I felt the Lord was really answering the objection that I had brought, that I said that I couldn't go to Perth because I was already engaged in the Lord's work. But really, the Lord was saying that I ought to go because the Lord could raise up another man to come to labour in my own particular congregation. During the remainder of that week of prayer, the Lord was still speaking through a number of messages, a number of hymns that were sung. When I was home the next week, I was speaking to my wife, Cherith, and I shared how the Lord had been dealing with me, and it certainly came as a great shock to her, as all of this had already come as a shock to me. And that evening she was upstairs to read, and since she hadn't gone seeking to get a particular answer to this question, but really she had just gone to find comfort in the Word of God. But in her daily readings for that day, Genesis chapter 12, and in Genesis chapter 12, the Lord said to Abraham, "Get thee out of thy country." And the wife was so overcome by that, at that time she couldn't even continue to read the remainder of the chapter. And eventually we took that as confirmation from the Lord, because just the previous day, when I had been spending time with her eldest daughter Anna, in the Bible story, that particular chapter that the book had brought us to, and I believe the Lord at that time had spoken to my heart that I ought to get out of our country and go to a different place. That particular time, I was preparing some messages on the ministry of Elisha. And how, whenever Elisha was called to God, the Lord had Elijah to go and speak to him. And Elijah placed a mantle upon him. And then Elisha, he recognized that he was to follow after Elijah. And in order for that to happen, Elisha has to leave his farming behind. He actually burned his plowing instruments. He imparted company with his family. And again, this is one of the objections that we had in our mind. How can we attend our children so far away from their grandparents and their cousins and so on? And yet, we believe that is exactly what the Lord was asking us to do. That is part of the call of God. Another portion that the Lord used to speak to us was in Acts chapter 8, where the Lord spoke to Philip. The Lord told Philip to leave what particular place? To leave Samaria, to go south into the desert. Of course, thinking much of Western Australia, and certainly is desert. As if the Lord was calling us to leave one place and to go to another. We believe then that the Lord has a people in Perth, in Western Australia, that he may save. There's a hymn in our hymn book which has always been a great lesson in the heart over recent years. The hymn 532, where Noel Grant said, "Above thine own ambitions here, another voice sounding clear, it is the call of God to thee, O leave thy all and follow me." And way back before it even entered into Bible college one night, this hymn was sung at the conclusion of the youth rally that I was attending. I had previously heard these particular words. But back when I was about 18, I made a vow unto the Lord at a particular time when I believed my life was in great danger. And at that time I made a vow to the Lord that if the Lord delivered me, that I would serve him, if that was his will. And in the course of that hymn it says, "Go through with God thy vows to pay, thy life upon the altar lay." And that hymn really was highly influential, although it wasn't the only thing that brought me into the Lord's work. But in that hymn, it is all in the latter part, or the verse 2 rather, "The call of God is so clear, but friendship's call and home is dear." And I could certainly identify with that friendship's call. A home is very dear to all of us. "And only once the path you trod, then wilt thou not go through with God." The Christ is high, severe test for those who will enjoy God's best. Surrender all, then take the road with those who will go through with God. And certainly is my desire that I and my family would go through with God and pay our vows unto him. And light of that then, I made application to the mission board, met with them, and then also had to address the presbytery. They kindly have seen the Lord's hand that all has taken place thus far, and have given us this encouragement to pursue preparing to go to Perth. So encourage them daily to pray for us, and that the Lord will intervene over these coming months as far as immigration and finance and so on is concerned, and these doors will continue to open in the Lord's will, and that we might go and take up the work of God there in Perth. We'll turn in the Word of God, please, to the 2 Kings in the chapter 2. And here, this is one of the portions that the Lord used to deal with my heart during those times early back in the year. The 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2, and we're reading here about, I call it Elisha. My brother back home often say that we're supposed to call him Elisha, but for my young days, always heard him called Elisha. And so sometimes I set out to call him Elisha, and then a few sentences later, I just go back to my old way. So you'll have to forgive me for pronouncing the name wrong, but old habits die hard. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. "It came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha to Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to battle. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to battle. And some of the prophets that were at battle came forth to Elisha, and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elisha said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as my Jericho liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets were of Jericho, came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And they answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elisha said unto him, And tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord sent me to Jordan. He said, As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets went, and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went all over on dry ground. It came to pass when they were gone over, and then Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee, before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me, when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. It came to pass that they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and horses of fire, and part of them both asunder, and Elijah went up by the whirlwind into heaven. Amen. We'll enter in there, and trust in the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. We'll take the Lord's peace together in prayer and healing as we come and together to let the word grow in the Lord this afternoon. Our gracious Father, we thank thee that thy word is indeed the written word of God. We thank thee that this is an inspired book, and an errant book. We thank thee that it is a living word. We thank thee that though this event took place all of those hundreds of years ago, that it is completely applicable to our day. We pray that thou wouldst lead them to grant us help in the work of God's gift. Oh Lord, we pray that thou wilt open up to us this portion of the word of the Lord, and Lord, we pray that it might be of great instruction to us. So grant that mighty option and infilling of the Holy Spirit of God in the Lord's name. Amen. Amen. The life and ministry of Elisha was one that was molded by his master and his mentor, Elijah. After the call of prophecy revealed to Elisha, back in 1 Kings chapter 19, Elisha has said, I will follow thee. And he not only then endeavored to follow the Lord, but for the remainder of the pilgrimage of Elijah, Elisha followed after and ministered unto Elisha followed after and ministered unto Elijah. We're not told how many years that particular circumstance revealed. But it's all that it may have been for approximately 10 years. By the time then we come to 2 Kings chapter 2, now that period of mentorship was drawing to a close. And Elijah was about to be received up into glory, and he would not see death, but the Lord was taken. Elijah was to be translated. And when we come then to this chapter, it's clear that Elijah knew that he was going to be taken up into heaven. Elisha knew that he was going to be taken up into heaven. And so too did the sons of the prophets. And they were aware that something very dramatic and remarkable was going to take place in this exit of Elijah from earth and his reception into glory. And all of this was highly significant, of course, for Elisha. He would no longer merely be the servant of Elijah, but Elisha now was to be the representative and the successor of Elijah. And in this account then, Elijah was making his final earth journey. And he journeyed then from Gilgal through to Bethel, to Jericho, and across the Jordan. And it was only after he crossed the Jordan that he was then received up into glory in this whirlwind.
And these to be the sage men of Germany. Elijah said to Elisha, "You stop here, and I will go further." And these to be different instances, I believe, that Elisha was being tested. And they were tested of his dedication to be a prophet of God. And would he continue to go on with God, or was he willing to stop short with God? And these then were certainly tests of his commitment to be the servant and the successor of Elijah. And Elijah, or Elisha rather, we could say, passed each of these tests, for he never stopped, but he went the whole way with Elijah, and therefore the whole way with God. And what Elisha was longing for was the double portion. At the end of the verse 9, Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of my spirit be upon me." And this is the thing then that he's been craving all along, the double portion. And in the Old Testament, the double portion was the entitlement of the firstborn. Now, so for example, a father has three sons. The two younger sons would get 25% each. But the firstborn would have the double portion. He had that entitlement to 50%. And later then he craved this special blessing of the Lord. He was not content to rest on second base, but he wanted the very best that the Lord could give. As we think of this journey, and there is special emphasis in this portion, the fact that Elisha continued with Elijah. Notice what it says at the end of the verse 2. Elisha pledges, "I will not leave thee." So they, plural, they went down to Bethel. Verse 4, at the end of that verse, "I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. At the end of the verse 6, "I will not leave thee." And they too went on. At the end of the verse 7, they too stood by Jordan. At the end of the verse 8, they too went over on dry ground. And then verse 11, it came to pass, as they still went on. The two.
And to each time then, Elijah was saying, "Elisha, you stay here." But Elisha said, "No, I'm going on." And they too went on.
There was no stopping Elisha. He was determined that he would not stop short with God. He was determined to have the best. And that's really what we want to consider together this afternoon. Are you going to settle for less than God's best? Are you going to stop short with God? Are you going to press on with Him? Going on with the Lord. Enjoying more of Him. And therefore the question must be, is Elisha a picture of our lives? Are we going on with the Savior? Elisha went on. I want to see, first of all, that Elisha continued to execute God's purpose for his life. And the Lord made abundantly clear to Elisha what his purpose for Elisha was to be. Now back in 1 Kings chapter 19, in 1 Kings 19, at the very end of this chapter, we have the account of the call of God upon the life of this young man. And it says in 1 Kings 19, and verse 19, he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat. In verse 20, he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And this is what then Elisha understood God's will for him to be. "I will follow thee." As already suggested, thee, I believe, is twofold there. "I will follow thee, Elijah." And then that was also this pledge, "I will follow the Lord." Now if you think of this pledge, "I will follow thee, Elijah." He had already then pledged that he would go with Elijah to the very end. And therefore, if Elijah was to say to him, "You stay here," well evidently that was going to be his head. Because he had already said, "I will follow thee through to the end." And that is exactly how Elisha understood in 2 Kings chapter 2. When Elijah said to him, I am going to leave Gilgal and I am going to battle,
you say, hear. Unless you remember that he had already pledged, I will follow him. How therefore he understood that he was to continue,
and that it was God's will for him to remain with Elijah right until the very end. And this journey was going to be difficult.
And this final journey would involve climbing hills. It would involve going through valleys.
And there were going to be tests along the way about the blessing of God would follow if he would be pleased to continue to follow after Elijah, if he would do God's will, if he would fulfill God's purpose for him.
And it is never God's will then for us to come too far with him and stop. But it's always the Lord's will for God's people to continue in accordance with his leading and with his guiding.
We are then to say, where he leads me, I will go. If you turn over with me to Hebrews chapter 6, in Hebrews chapter 6, Paul here speaks of Abraham and how Abraham patiently endured. Hebrews chapter 6 and the verse 12. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience are endurance, inherit the promises. And so the promises are inherited through endurance, verse 15. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. If you turn over page or two to Hebrews 10, Hebrews 10 and verse 36. Hebrews 10, verse 36. For ye have need of patience, and again this word is the idea of endurance. Ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Now the primary meaning of these words is certainly that after Abraham has fulfilled his earthly covenant, that he entered into the great inheritance of glory, and he saw the fulfillment of those promises. But I believe there's certainly an application to the present. The great enjoyment of God's promises
is not just something that we are to inherit and partake of in glory, though we do partake of those promises in glory, but we are to enjoy God's promises now.
And therefore, in order to enjoy the promises of God, and what is God's will for us? That we might endure, ye have need of endurance, that after ye have done the will of God. And so it's only after we have done the will of God that we receive, we enjoy the promises of God. And to stop short with God then is to lose out on the blessing of the promises of God for us. But as Elisha then pledged, I'm going to stay with you, Elijah.
He had this great determination to continue to execute God's purpose for his life.
Let's see then secondly, that as he continued to enjoy God's presence in his life. Now remember, the high point in the ministry of Elijah was that great event that had taken place in 1 Kings 19
at Mount Carmel. Remember how the prophets of Baal had gathered and they had called down for Baal to send fire upon the sacrifice.
Remember, of course, they were wasting their time. But then, as Elijah prayed that God would send the fire fell and consumed the sacrifice. And the great event then at Mount Carmel
is a wonderful picture of Calvary. Now the fire of God fell and consumed the sacrifice. And as I say, that particular event was really the key to the whole ministry of Elijah on earth.
And after that event then, sometime later, Elijah appointed this man, Elisha,
to minister in his place. And so after the events of Mount Carmel, which are a picture of Calvary,
this man then, Elisha, was appointed to serve in his room. And after that then, Elijah was received up into glory. And all this little picture then all the work of Christ himself.
After Calvary, remember how he spoke to the saints, and he emphasized to them that they were to be his witnesses, that he would be taken out of the way,
but that would not be the end of God's work. But God's work would continue through those who would minister in his place. And to that end then, the Lord was taken out of the way, the Lord was received up into glory. And in light of that then,
Elisha is a very obvious picture of the disciples of Christ, of us as God's people. The Lord has been received up into glory, but we are to minister today as we are in his roof.
And we are the ministers of Christ on earth.
And here then was this challenge to Elisha. Will you stop short with God, or will you press through to the very end that you might enjoy God's presence
in that ministry in which you are to engage? We all understand that the Holy Spirit continues to dwell in the lives of God's people, but we must understand that the child of God can lose the sense of the presence of the Holy Spirit.
And so while the Holy Spirit continues to dwell with his people, the child of God can certainly lose sight of the sense of the Holy Spirit's presence
with his people. My brother Mr. Harris has been reading a lot in recent days about F.B. Meyer. And F.B. Meyer was a great English Baptist preacher, and he had a visit of two missionaries to his church. A very famous missionary you've heard of, C.T. Studd, and then another man by the name of Stanley Smith. And whenever Meyer heard those men share in his pulpit, he felt that those men had something that he lacked in his own ministry. And he later shared that with them. And they really encouraged Meyer to yield his life entirely to the Lord. And Meyer felt that there were certain matters in his life that he was really holding back. It was as if there were rooms in his life and he had locked them. And he was refusing to give the key to the Lord. It was a great struggle. But Meyer reported how, as he went to prayer, he was in this great struggle. And as he was thinking of this great issue, am I going to yield my entire life unto the Lord? He said, Lord, I am willing to be made willing. And through the various things in his life that he felt were holding him back, he said, I'm willing to be made willing,
that every part of myself will be given entirely over to the Lord.
We can certainly identify and share with Meyer. There are various matters in our life, and we perhaps are closing off from the Lord.
We need to get to that place. I'm willing to be made willing.
In order that we might enjoy the very best of God's presence with us. Now I want you to think of these places that Elisha could have stayed.
And so if you look with me in 2 Kings chapter 2,
the very first place where they were found was Gilgal. You'll read that named place at the end of the verse 1. So they were found in Gilgal. Now Gilgal was the name of the place.
And Gilgal, the name of the place the children of Israel came to when they crossed over the river Jordan. And it was in Gilgal that
the rite of circumcision was reintroduced among God's people. The name Gilgal, it refers to rolling. And those events early in the book of Joshua,
the reason why that name Gilgal was given, because it seemed to represent the rolling away of the reproach from the people
on account of circumcision, which is of course the sign of the covenant. In Colossians 2 and verse 11 it says, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting on the body of the sins of the flesh
by the circumcision of Christ. And circumcision therefore certainly speaks of conversion, and the outward cutting off the flesh,
it speaks of a greater covenant. It speaks of the cutting of the heart, the granting of a new heart.
And certainly then, as we think of Gilgal, it is a great reminder to us of the place of conversion. And here then, Elijah came to Elisha. And Elijah said, we are in Gilgal, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to bed. But Elisha, he recognized
this is a test. God did not want Elisha to stand and to stop at Gilgal. He needed to go on to bed. As we think of Gilgal representing the place
of conversion, it's not a tragic thing that it seems that some of God's people are stuck in Gilgal. They have professed the Lord's name in salvation. They say they are not even children of God,
but they have never been on to prove God. They have never been on to live for God or speak for God. They have got to Gilgal, but they're stuck there. And it is never the Lord's desire, it is never the Lord's will. That would be so. God will have us to move on to Bethel.
Bethel, as you'll understand, means the house of God. Remember back in Genesis chapter 28, and how Jacob was fleeing from his brother, and he came to this particular place, and he saw the stones, and he laid out to sleep. Well, that night, he had that great vision, and it was certainly more than an ordinary dream.
It was a vision of Christ. He saw that ladder that was set up on earth, but it reached right up into glory. That ladder, of course, speaks to us of Christ. He is our mediator.
He is set up on earth, but his work stands right into glory. And the kind of matter is the ministry of the angels
between heaven and earth. But remember how at Gilgal, or sorry, at Bethel, and Jacob vowed a vow. In Genesis chapter 28, in verse 20, Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "For since God will be with me, and will give me, help me in this way as I go, I will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on. So I will come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, Bethel. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." And here in Bethel then,
as Jacob brought this lease, there was this vow of consecration. He dedicated himself to the Lord.
Now we think then of Bethel. Certainly reminds us of that place of dedication, of consecration. What would it be to remain in Bethel?
Surely it would be to say that Bethel, I made a vow to God. I will do such and such a thing. I will dedicate my life to God.
But the vow is never kept. You see, to remain in Bethel, surely then has that idea. I will make a vow, but I will not pay. It would be to lose out God. But then moving from that particular place, and they came to Jericho. Jericho is the place of palm trees, but it was also the place of the curse. And certainly a very pleasant place back at this particular period of time. For in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 19, the men of the city said unto Elisha, "Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant."
And Jericho was certainly located in a very fertile place. It was a very lush area.
And the child of God can find himself in a very pleasant place. The child of God can find himself in a place that is very pleasing to the flesh, but it might not necessarily be the place that God would have him to be. He might find it a comfortable place. The Lord might not desire him to be in that particular Jericho. Jericho is also the place of victory.
And you think of generations previous to Elisha, of that great victory that took place at Jericho, and how those walls were torn down in that great victory after God's people had surrounded the city.
But it was not God's desire for Elisha to stay at Jericho. He was to move on to something that was fresh. You see, there are some Christians, and they knew the kind of victory in their life in the past.
They enjoyed God's power in their life in the past. And they perhaps even saw the Lord moving through them personally in the past. But they're still living in that location. And even though that event might have taken place 30, 40 years ago,
that's as if all they have as far as an experience
experience that God is concerned, that is not the Lord's desire for his people. The Lord desires that we would have a fresh experience of God, and that we would move on and enjoy God today. I'll go then. Elisha was not to remain Gilgal. He was not to remain Bethel or Jericho, but he was to come the whole way to Jordan and to cross over Jordan. Verse 6, Elisha said unto him, "Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord sent me to Jordan." And as he pledged them to go on, the waters were divided, and they passed through. The Jordan certainly often speaks to us of death and resurrection, and the idea of going down, but coming out again on the other side. And as we think of these two men that went together, Elijah, a great reminder of Christ. Elisha, a great reminder of the child of God. And Paul said in Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And the child of God then is to say, "I am crucified with Christ. I slay my own desires and ambitions, but then I live with Christ. But as he is risen, I live with him." And literally then he reached the other side of Jordan. And there was this great desire, "I am going to keep on going." And here is then this place that we ought to get.
We need to get to Jordan. If we stop in those other places, perhaps we'll never get to this place. We're to get to the place where our own desires are crucified, our own possessions are crucified.
And that every part of our life indeed is entirely yielded up unto the Lord. And perhaps even today, there is a battle in your heart.
And I don't know in your particular circumstance what it is that you are to yield up to the Lord. Perhaps even this afternoon as you sit in God's house, sir,
is this battle. Other voices are clamoring against the voice of God's word. And that was very true for Elisha. And for notice what it says in verse 3, 2 Kings 2 and verse 3, "The sons of the prophets that were of Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." And so they were saying to him, "Look, Elisha, there is no need for you to go on. Do you not understand that today is the day when Elijah is going to be taken away from you?" And Elisha said, "Yes, I know all about it. Stop talking in that way to me. Hold ye your peace." And the same thing is repeated in verse 5 when he came to Jericho.
Now you think of these men, godly men, sons of the prophets, training for the work of God, and yet they were in a place where potentially they were hindering a servant of God going through with God.
They were telling him, "Really, it's sufficient for you to stay here." But it wasn't. And perhaps then there are those other voices that are clamoring. And don't heed them, but rather be surrendered to the very will and the very best of God. I'm sure Elisha could have made many excuses.
As he looked at Bethel, was there a need for a man of God to labor there? Certainly there was. But it wasn't God's desire for him to tarry there, that thing. As he came to Jericho,
was there a need of a man of God in Jericho? Certainly there was. But it wasn't God's will for Elisha to tarry in Jericho at that time. He could have saved them. Perhaps he could have accomplished much.
But it wouldn't have been the best for the people. And it certainly wouldn't have been God's very best for him. God had him to go the whole way to Jordan.
And so Elisha went on. He continued to execute God's purpose for his life. He continued to enjoy God's presence in his life. And we'll see then thirdly, he continued to experience God's power in his life. But notice what it says in verse 9 again. "It came to pass when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee, before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me."
And this then was the longing of the servant of God. Let me have the double portion. Let me have the power of God. And he was longing then that he would continue to enjoy God's power,
that he would know even more of God's power that he had known up until that point.
He could see that Elijah was full of power.
And he longed then that that mantle of power would fall upon him.
You say, how could I know the power of the Holy Ghost? And how could I know that fullness of power? Well, those matters that have already been mentioned are absolutely crucial.
We are today itself and so on. We must go on with God.
But I believe there's something even more than that revealed to us here. For in verse 10, Elijah said to him, thou hast asked a hard thing.
And so, it's a hard thing for a child of God to know the fullness of the power of God. It's something that it doesn't come easy to say by nature. It's a hard thing to be asked for. But nevertheless, in verse 10, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. And so then, in the verse 12, it says, and Elisha saw it. And here then was the matter. Elijah said, this is a hard thing.
But if you see me being taken up into glory, then you'll have the power. If you don't see me, then you won't have it.
And you think of all those times before when Elisha had said, I'm not going to stop, I'm going to go on.
Had he stopped, he wouldn't have seen it.
And so he has to continue right until this point that he might see it. But because he did see it,
the mantle of God's power then rested upon him.
And what does this represent to us? Well, surely it represents the great ascension of our Lord to glory. And how then can we know the power of God? As our eyes are fixed on the fact that our Christ is a risen Christ.
Now today our Lord is in glory. That he is our representative
in glory.
That he prays for us. And the Lord is united to his work. And the Lord says, all your sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And that is the Lord's great purpose.
And it's the Lord's desire that his church would be used to that end.
And as we then keep our attention fixed upon the risen Christ,
we become candidates for the power of God. You remember how the Lord said to his disciples, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Because I go to my Father. Now those are certainly great words. The Lord said to his people, you will do greater works than me. And obviously you have to ask yourself the question, how can we do greater works than Christ has done?
And of course it's not saying that we would have the ability to go out and to raise the dead. It's not saying that we can reach our cast out demons in our own name.
Rather it's saying that our works would be greater in a sense of importance. And this idea that we will not merely see blinded eyes physically open, but we will see spiritual eyes open.
That we will not merely see physically the lame to walk, but we'll see spiritually the lame to walk. The deaf to hear, and we think too of how the Lord neared the end of his ministry. And the number of disciples who continuously are still following after him is very small.
But we see these greater works today, for the kingdom of Christ is to be extended into every nation.
But if we are to be used by the Lord to see those greater works, we need the power of God. May we keep our attention then upon the cross of Christ and upon the risen Christ.
And may the Lord indeed give us that power and to go forward in his work, that we might indeed never stop short, we might execute God's purpose, enjoy God's presence, and experience God's power. We trust the Lord will bless his word tonight to our hearts. turn it in our hymn books to close in to the words of hymn 488. And 489 survey the wondrous cross on which the prince of glory died, my message came, I thank the gloss and for contempt. On all my pride, verse 4, where the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all, may he even say tonight, it shall have my soul, my life, my all. 488 will stand as we sing the closing lips.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the grace of glory died, my righteous faith I find the cross.
Need to be put right. We acknowledge, Lord, today that Not all of us can say that we have arrived. Even the Apostle Paul has to say that he had not yet peace, but he has to keep pressing forward toward the mark. And help us to do so, we pray of thee. And Lord, may each one of us be those faithful ambassadors of thee. And even, Lord, in this new week, that thou hast given to us. Oh Lord, give us opportunities to serve the Lord. Give us opportunities to speak well of the Lord. And Lord, may it even be your joy to point men and women onto the Lamb of Calvary. Pardon us in this Sabbath evening and thy blessing. And bring us to our various places and safety. And we pray with the blessing of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Address and be invited to us until our Savior comes across. Amen.